Can you paint us a picture of how these people are living? What are the main needs, and specifically children? How are children living in Cabo Delgado?
What is the most frightening to me is the issue of child protection. And you know, when you have this kind of shock, one of the biggest risks is separation and children who are unaccompanied. It's really heartbreaking to be with children, interview them, interact with them, and realize that from the time of the Palma attack, they got separated with their parents. They enter in a boat in which they knew only few relatives or people coming from the same location. And hearing from those people who are hosting them, that they keep on a daily basis calling the parents and they are not getting answers. And you could read and you could see from the children's eyes the fear and the anxiety about the whereabouts of their parents.
Do we know how many children are in this situation?
We are talking about, I think the exact number is 1,970 children who are unaccompanied or separated, close to 2,000 children, which is for me a big burden and which for me also require a lot of work in terms of psychological support, in terms of psychosocial support, in terms of, mental health also to be taken as part of the challenge that people are facing. I could see also malnutrition becoming a serious issues. Our team are doing active case finding because also most of the time when the child is malnourished, mothers stay home trying to use traditional protocol until the situation get critical before referring. I visited today a health center supported by UNICEF where I saw a child severely and acutely malnourished, close to death, and now coming back to life because of the treatment and the protocol we put there in place, and after 6 days. I'm seeing also in this movement of population, people who have been living with HIV because HIV/AIDS prevail highly in this region. But because of displacement and because of movement, they drop out of the treatment, putting them and increasing the risk that they are facing. Of course, we are still in the context of the pandemic of COVID-19. Respecting the precautionary measures like social distancing, wearing masks, washing hands, those also remain big challenges in all and throughout this area because of the promiscuity, because of the congestion. One other point which is important to highlight is water and sanitation. I have seen, for example, in the island of Ibo, a kind of recurrent shock and outbreak of cholera, which to me is nothing else than the deficit that the people and the community are facing when it comes to access to safe water, when it comes to access to hygiene and sanitation. I have seen also massive need of children who need to access to education because and the school was already very fragile, but since they are very accommodating to displaced children, this further increased. You see, most schools are operating in two to three shifts per day to be able to combine the accommodation of the displaced children with the need of observing at a minimum level the precautionary measures against COVID-19 spread. Just to say that almost every angle you take, which is related to child survival, child protection, child well-being, child development, is an area with massive need. And I think we need to talk about those at the international level for people to realize the kind of difficult situation that the population of this part of the world are going through.
I would like to ask you now about that. So, looking at the future, what are the priorities for UNICEF? What is the agency going to be focused on?
For me, I think one of the greatest priority is access. Because most of the time when you have these security issues and challenge, you have the insurgency or the non-state armed group operating here, making it difficult for us to access. You have sometimes the government security forces also being present, and that limits the kind of access we have to certain population and who are in need. I think getting increased access is something which is extremely important. One of the message I will take back also to Maputo when I will re-engage with government at a high level, it will be how they can facilitate the visa and the working, the operation, the facilities for the non-governmental organization to open operation. I think the government is working well with the United Nations, but as we know, UN is stepping up its footprint, like our sub-office now in Pemba has been growing, and we are not only in terms of number, but even in terms of seniority and experience of the staff we deploy here. But we as UN or we as UNICEF, we need also to collaborate. We need to partner with NGO, with civil society, with community-based organization to increase our reach, because alone we cannot set up all the architecture and platform that we need. I think that will be a sense of need that I will also highlight. I feel also that there is a need for the international community to increase its financial support to this operation. We started the year with a humanitarian appeal for children of over $50 million. So far, it is unfunded by 60%. In a context where day by day, you are seeing the number of IDP increasing. Today in this region, we are talking about 700,000 IDPs, half of whom are children, and there are many areas where we don't have access and where probably also there are population who are in dire situation or who have need that could be greater than even the population we have access to.